Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 1. It said, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and in understanding science, and as much as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them for 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. Get this verse here. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now, the Lord willing, we're going to read a lot more scripture tonight if the Lord wills it. But I want to work from Daniel right here for a little while. And as I was reading this, I thought to myself, my, how terrible of a feeling it must be, Brother Vaughn. What worse place can one find themselves in than to be stuck and caught smack dab right in the middle of the crossfire? Judah, here they are, they get captured. God had already determined it through the prophet Jeremiah. And they've went into captivity by Babylon. And what kept going through my mind was, as always, God has a remnant. Amen? He always has a remnant of people that'll stand with him. And I got to thinking about America, and I thought, you know, here we are comfy and cozy tonight in our church and this nice air conditioning, and we can go home tonight and feed our face and whatever. But I got to thinking, what if America tonight was to be besieged by some third world country or something, and we was to go into captivity to another nation? We'd be in the same boat as these children of Israel that were named right here. We'd be caught in the crossfire, right in the middle of everything. And I thought about that, and I thought, Lord, why does it seem like so many times we can read through the Word of God and see this, and even in our time today in other countries, that God's people seemingly get caught right in the middle of the crossfire? And the Lord began to unravel this thing to me. And for those of you Bible scholars that are familiar with the book of Daniel, you know how the story went on about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and some of the things them boys faced. And he began to show me that it's about the battle scars. And by the way, that's going to be the title of my message tonight. It's about the battle scars that we endure for Christ. You see, when these boys, when this nation of Judah got stuck in captivity, these boys couldn't see right then what was going to become of them. All they knew is that their nation was taken captive. But the Bible went on to tell different accounts of what happened and how we know the story, how Daniel had a bunch of people lie on him and he got thrown into a den of lions. And after all that took place and he stood firm for what he believed, God brought him out and made him the third ruler of the kingdom. Then the story went on, talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they refused to bow before that idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. And because they refused to bow, they were cast into the middle of a burning fiery furnace. And it went on to say that when they stood their ground and God delivered them, they were promoted. They didn't see that then. They couldn't see it when they went into captivity because they were stuck in the crossfire. And I began to think about a young man in Xenia, Ohio, in the high school back in 1983 that dared to look an art teacher smack dab in the eye and say, "I'm not going to listen to that trash that you're playing in your class." And the story went on to say that the principal got involved and he said, "As long as this young man's in your class, you're not going to play that trash." Why did I say that? Because that young man might have been stuck in the crossfire, but he had enough of God to say, "I know in whom I have believed, and I'm a Holy Ghost Pentecostal filled man that loves God, and I'm not going to let myself be subjected to that." He didn't know when he stood up to the art teacher that God was going to make a way for him and remove the problem. All he knew was that he served a God that was holy and righteous and pure, and he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat. How many know tonight that there's always somebody that's got to stand up? The Bible said it was Daniel that purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. I can almost picture it in my mind. Daniel standing up and saying, "Hold the phone here, boys. Now I'm just going to tell you like it is right now. I'm not going to eat that mess. And I ain't going to drink that mess. You all do what you want to do, but I ain't going to do it." And I can just imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, "Well, Daniel, whatever you do, we're with you." I tell you what we need tonight, folks. We need some young people. We need some older people. We need some saints of God that'll say, "I'm going to stand up and I'm going to look the devil in the eye and I'm going to tell him I'm going to stand for God. It doesn't matter what the populace thinks. I'm not going to be popular. I'm going to be popular in God's eyes." I'm talking about taking some lickings. See, Jesus took his licks for us. Jesus bore them scars for us on his back, for our healing, for our deliverance, for everything that we'll ever need. But I'm persuaded to believe tonight that a lot of times us Christians fall into this dangerous ground with one little word that we misuse so frequently. And that's a word called nothing. We misuse that word called nothing. If we was to use it in the right way, it'd be powerful. But we use it in the wrong way. See, what happens is we get this thing backwards. We say, "Well, God, you know, I've been praying about this situation for a long time. I've been praying about this baby, and I don't see nothing. I've been praying about my lost kids and my grandkids. I don't see nothing. I've been praying about this situation in my body, but I don't see nothing. I've been praying about a moving of God in my church for 20 plus years, and I don't see nothing." But can I tell you tonight that there's somebody on the other side of nothing, that if we'll get our eyes on God and quit looking at the nothing and get excited about what God's going to do with our nothing, God will shake the place. Hallelujah. He knows just exactly how to move in our life if we'll give him the reins. I'm talking tonight about bearing some battle scars. It wasn't easy for Daniel when he got thrown into that den of lions to look up and say, "Oh God, here I am. I'm just trusting you." When these big ferocious beasts was chomping their chops at him, all he could do was trust God. But because he trusted God, Brother Woody, because he was willing to look at his situation of nothing and say, "I know it looks like nothing right now, but there's somebody on the other side of that nothing who's able to deliver me," God delivered him. Oh, I'm glad we're serving a God tonight that can shake the place if we'll turn loose of the pew. I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody's knuckles turn. I've seen it with my own eyes. We preached a lot of revivals together, didn't we, Mom? And I've seen people time and time again hold on to that pew so tight that their knuckles turn white. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we're engaged in a war that we didn't ask for. But if we'll get down to business with God and say, "I'm willing to bear my battle scars. I'm willing to let God shake the place. I'm willing to look at my nothing because there's something on the other side of nothing. I'm willing to place that in God's hand," God will move for us tonight, and he'll move mightily. It'll be a move to where we won't be sitting around looking at each other like we are tonight. That pew will get so hot we'll have to get up. There's things that move people today that ought not to move them. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the Word of God is what ought to get you up out of that pew. When Pastor gets behind this pulpit and he begins to walk down off the pulpit and forgets about the microphone, we ought to stand up with him and say, "Let's get engaged in the battle. Hey, let's get engaged in the battle. Let's take our community for God." That's the God we're serving. That's the God. Somebody said, well, Brother Jimmy, you just don't know what I've been through. You just don't know my circumstances and my situation. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 16. Paul and Silas had been preaching revival, and some ignorant woman decided to follow along and put her two cents in. And Paul took it, and Paul took it, and Paul took it. Finally, Paul got tired of taking it, and he turned around and rebuked her and told her to shut up. And he casted that spirit out of her, and all them men that was making money off of her began to lose money all of a sudden. Now, how many knows when you mess with somebody's pocketbook, you get into trouble sometimes? But that didn't shake Paul, and that didn't shake Silas. But listen to what happened, verse 22 of chapter 16. And the multitude, that's more than one, rose up, what? Together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And along about midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray. And what? They sang praises unto God. Now listen to this next part. And the prisoners heard them. Oh, you mean they weren't being quiet, Sister Sherry? They were singing, shout to the Lord, all you saints of God, all you Pentecostal holy rollers. Shout to the, they heard them singing. And verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Can I tell you tonight, if we'll just have enough of God to turn loose of the pew, if we'll have just enough of God to say, here I am, send me. Can I tell you tonight, church? Can I tell you tonight that God will shake the place for those who'll stand up and be accounted for God. He'll shake the place. He shook the place here. These brothers bore the battle scars on their back. They said many stripes they were beat with because of what they stood for. Many stripes they were beat with. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, Paul's starting to get a little bit more brave here. Something you got to understand about Paul. Paul could be crass at times, but he got his point across. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee, because now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, listen to this, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil reports and good reports, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always, listen to this, yet always rejoicing. Did you get that? Yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Paul knew what he was talking about. When he started out in this battle, he knew that he was in for some stuff, because Jesus told him, I must show you the many things you must suffer for me. You see, we think because we're Christians that we ought to be able to just float along, sing a song. People that start out in this battle has, doesn't have the tendency, it will separate the men from the boys. It'll separate the little girls from the women. This battle that we're engaged in will show just exactly what we're made of tonight. Go with me again to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16, starting at verse 16. I know I'm reading a lot of scripture here, but I want you to get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 16. Paul said, and I say again. Now, before I read this, you got to understand something. Paul's aggravated here. By now, he's been hearing all this boasting going on by these little penny-ante so-called preachers or whatever that's got the doctrine all twisted up and bragging about what they've been through. And ain't been through nothing. And so Paul, as we're reading this, you're going to hear him say here, he says it about three times. Now, I'm speaking like a fool. In other words, I'm speaking like one of these idiots out here that don't know what you're talking about. Listen to what he says. And again, I say, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, or if a man devour you, or if a man take of you, or if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. And I'm speaking concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit whereinsoever any is bold. Again, I speak foolishly now. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. I like his style. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool now. I am more. Listen to what he says. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, get this now, of his own people, of the Jews, five different times received I 39 stripes. At 40 save one means 39. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. One night and one day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils by the wilderness, in perils by the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That is a track record. We don't know what battle scars are, but Paul did. Jesus did. All them disciples did. But can I tell you tonight, we're all engaged in that same battle. Brother Jimmy, somebody said something about me wasn't true. I don't think that's right. Thank God for it. It's just another battle scar. Brother Jimmy, somebody's putting our church down. Think something ought to be done about that. Pray for them. It's just another battle scar. Brother Jimmy, there's something wrong with my child, and I don't know what it is, and the doctors don't know what it is. Thank God for it. It's just another battle scar. But I can't see nothing but nothing. Thank God for that nothing, and get excited about it. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ the King is getting ready to take your nothing and turn it into something, because he's the one that's on the other side of nothing. Bear your battle scars tonight. Bear your battle scars tonight. We're engaged in a fight of our life. We're engaged in a battle tonight that if the devil had his way, he'd take each and every one of us, Brother Joe, out. But since I've got my amen corner over here, and I've got some extra fire on my side, I'd like to just make this proclamation tonight to old Lucy, if he's listening, and I know that he is. I just want to say to Lucy tonight, I'm feeling mighty dangerous in the Lord. I've got the fire of God behind me up here, and I've got the fire of God in front of me out there. Hey, and I've got God down deep inside of me, and I'm willing tonight to bear the battle scars that it takes to please God. Glory! You ought to be giving him praise tonight for what he's done in your life. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Some of us need to turn loose of that pew. Well, I heard one preacher say, it's time to turn loose of the handrail. There's too many people holding on to the handrail. And it's time to get all excited and go tell somebody what Jesus did in our life. We should not have to wait for us preachers to get up here and preach our proverbial guts out for somebody to move. We ought to be excited about what God's done in our life. I'm talking, Brother Jerry, about somebody on the other side of your nothing. It might seem hopeless. It might seem foolish. Some people laugh at me and say, I don't think you got to scream like that. My Bible tells me to make a loud noise before the Lord. If you want to be quiet, go right ahead. I'm going to get in good practice for when I go up. Glory to God. John said it was a sound like a thunder. It don't sound quiet to me. We need to ask ourselves this question, Brother Joe. Are we Pentecostal? Or are we just in Pentecostal in name? Honey, if this church makes you nervous, I know of a lot of other good churches around that'd be glad to have you. Hey, it's time to shake off the heavy bands tonight. It's time to shake off the heavy bands and let God be real in our midst. Do we want revival? Then we got to break loose from that pew. I'm not saying tonight that you got to shout like I shout. I'm not saying tonight that you got to dance like Sister Wyatt dances. But what I'm saying you do have to do is give your God praise that He's worthy of. How hard is it tonight, Brother Woody, for somebody to stand up and just begin to weep before the Lord? How hard is it tonight, Pastor, for somebody to just raise their hands to God when the music starts and we begin to sing the praises and the pastor gets up to preach? It's not out of order. Yes, let him preach, but you praise God anyway. See, the devil hinders us. Well, I'd move. I don't know what pastor'd think. Me and pastors had some pretty pointed conversations. And I got a newsflash for you. He's wondering like I'm wondering why you ain't moved yet. He's been praying for 20-something years, Lord, shake the place. And I'll tell you what, He'll shake this place if you'll turn loose of the handrail tonight. It's going to take some battle scars. These wise guys, when you get out in the community, Sister Ashley, you might have to hug some necks. You might have to pat some backs, Brother Ron. You might say, have to tell them, all right, rub your toes and move up another notch. Get a little bit more thick skin than that. They talked about Jesus. They spit in Jesus' face. That does not turn you loose from your responsibility to tell them that if they don't get right, they're still going to go to hell. That's not popular. Oh, you shouldn't say that word. I didn't even know what to do with Jesus, would they? I'm talking about a hell to shun and a glorious heaven to gain. I wish all you could have been here that night, that we was stuck back in, I don't want to say stuck, we was privileged to be back in that fourth chapter of Revelation. Because I tell you what, the glory came down. Oh my goodness. I couldn't even talk up here. Having a hard time tonight. We need to lose some of this weight. But I couldn't hardly talk that night. I wasn't all shook up like I am tonight. But the Holy Ghost of God was so thick that the only thing that needed to be said was praise His name. Hallelujah is the highest praise. Oh, Lord, You are worthy. Oh, Lord, You are worthy. Oh, Lord, You are worthy. You deserve the glory and the honor. That's what we ought to be singing every time we come in. You know, if we was to confuse the devil and come into the house of God already with praise on our lips, instead of waiting for our poor pastor back here to work us up, we'd be able to get in and have church more often. Is that right? See, I think sometimes we get a monkey wrench in the way and it locks up the gears. How many knows what a monkey wrench is? I've never seen a monkey wrench. Well, a few of you have. And it locks up the gears so that the water can't flow. How many knows it takes the water of God, the water of the Word of God, the water of the Word of God to stir us up and birth forth living fountains of water? God can do that through His Word if we'll turn loose to the handrail and say, I'm willing to take my lickings so I can keep on ticking. Amen? God's looking for people who sold out. He's not looking. I hope I'm not preaching too long tonight, but I want to get this out. He's not looking for somebody tonight like that young man back in 1983. If he would have said, well, maybe I'm being fanatical. Maybe I'll just let them go ahead and play their trash. You know, I can't do nothing about it. Nothing would have ever happened. Did you know God can still do things like that even today? Even today, God can remove things. People say, well, you just don't know what the school's like now. Yeah, we don't have to. I know what God's like today. I don't have to know what the condition of the school is. I don't have to know what the most politically correct term of the day to use is. I know that Jesus may not be politically correct, but He still has all power in heaven, and in the earth tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. I ain't looking for the approval of the principal. I ain't looking for the approval of my peers tonight. I'm looking for the approval of Jehovah God in my life. I have always been, and I guess I always be, Sister Williams, one that rocks the boat. I just can't help it. That's just my nature. If something don't click, it just don't click. And I just can't, Sister Sherry, keep my big mouth shut. They can call me a fanatic all they want to, but if the Bible says it's wrong, I'm going to call it wrong. And I want to end it on this note. I just want to say this. I'm privileged to live in a country and to give honor to that flag. But I'm more privileged to give honor to those boys and them girls every second of every day over in Iraq and Afghanistan that's laying their lives and putting it on the line so that we can sit here and have our cup of tea. But now, this is Jimmyism here. I'm speaking for Jimmy. I ain't speaking for Pastor. I ain't speaking for Brother Woody or none of the rest of you. I'm just telling, this is one of them, another one of them rock your boat moments, okay? So if it rocks your boat, I'm sorry. But this is just the way I feel about it. The only person that I'll pledge my allegiance to is Jesus Christ. The only flag that I pledge my allegiance to is the Christian flag, because if it wasn't for that flag, we wouldn't have that one. Now, having said that, I love America right along with the rest of you. And I pray for her every day. I pray God turn America around. It'd be a shame to see so many good things turn and come of naught because of the majority, because of the populace. But can I tell us tonight, every one of us, just like God has always had a remnant, that remnant, when they stand before God, you and me included, if we've really been, now I want you to get this, Pastor, maybe God will give you a message off of this one. If we've really been engaged in the battle like we ought to be, when we stand before God, before the judgment seat of Christ, and every one of us is going to stand there. You know, the sinner's going to stand before the great white throne judgment, but we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when we do, I don't want him to look at Jimmy and see a pretty boy. Ooh, it got quiet on that one, didn't it? They was shouting me down before. Now they done got quiet on me.
Praise the Lord. We trust that that's been a blessing to you today. And just in case this has landed in someone's lap that happens to be a sinner, we want to take just a moment to lead you into the sinner's prayer. Neighbor, and mean it with all your heart. I guarantee you, Christ will come into your heart and your life, and you'll be changed forever. Amen. Now let's pray. Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus as my Savior. You said in your word that if I'll confess my sin, you would be faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right now, Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sin. I'm placing my trust solely in you, and I'm serving notice upon you, Satan, right now. You no longer have a hold on my life. I am the property of Jesus Christ, because right now, upon my profession of my faith in his finished work, I am saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Neighbor, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to be the very first one to welcome you into the family of God and encourage you to find you a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church so that you can continue on your path with the Lord. Make that 180-degree turn from sin and put all of your energies and your efforts into serving the Lord today. My heartfelt prayer for you today is that you will continue to go with God, and I'll guarantee you this, neighbor, if you will go with God, God will go with you. God bless you today is my prayer.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Hey, this is Roger Barkley Jr. You're listening to the best in Christian country music right here on HLEradio.com.